Hello, my name is Kyle Katz, and I will be having a conversation with Lenny. Lenny.
Yes, sir.
Lenny Yesner. Mm-hmm. Did I say it right?
Mm-hmm.
And I will be having a conversation with Lenny Yesner for the New York City Trans Oral History Project in collaboration with the New York Public Library's Community Oral History Project. This is an oral history project centered on the experience of trans-identifying people. It is 4/29/17, and this is being recorded at Sage in Midtown, New York, in the utility closet. Okay, Lenny, thank you so much for agreeing to participate in the project. And let's start with, tell me about your childhood. Tell me about your childhood and your feelings about gender-related things.
Yeah.
Oh, no, wait. I have things I have to say.
Okay.
Okay, so tell me your name and your age.
Mm-hmm. My name is Lenny Yesner. I'm 32 years old.
And what are your gender pronouns?
They, them, and theirs.
And how would you describe your gender?
I am genderqueer, non-binary, trans person, under the trans umbrella, the big, big, big umbrella, and I also like using the words gender fluid.
Cool.
And gender fucker.
And I think you should say about your t-shirt.
Yes, and so I also really... My gender feels very galactic. I'm wearing a shirt that has the galaxy on it, and the galaxy and like space and like the expansiveness of space plays a lot into how I envision myself and my gender and other people's gender and gender in general.
When I see that shirt, I think of the multitude of stars, the almost infinite, we assume infinite, we don't know, mm-hmm. amount of stars as being all the many possible genders that there could be. And that gives me the freedom to be who I am. So I loved that metaphor.
The first time I ever heard it was I was doing a theater project about... I was doing a theater project as a part of a master's in applied theater at CUNY, as I was saying before, but... where I was creating a piece of theater, an educational piece of theater for fourth graders about gender beyond the binary.
Oh, wow.
And I had was not out at all and had really thought about my gender, but hadn't, like, was like a really strong ally, but hadn't taken the steps to be like, no, this is you, boo-boo, you know? And I was doing the work of making this theater piece, and I felt, I would stay up all night reading things. Like, the entire night, I would read about gender, and I would be like, oh, this, yes, that. And a piece that I came across that really, like, ended up being a central part of the theater piece, but ended up being, like, a central part of my life was this piece on the Sylvia Rivera Law Project's website. And it was, like, literally just called Trans 101. And it's, like, one of the best Trans 101s I've ever read in my whole life. And at the one point in it, it says, what if we imagine gender instead of a spectrum... imagined it as an absolutely infinite number of points in the sky, because on a spectrum, where would you fit, like, a butch sissy fag? Where would you fit, like, you know what I mean? Like, all the ways in which, like, gender is so fucking beautifully diverse. And
yeah, it needs more dimensions.
Exactly. So in that theater piece that we ended up making, I made sure that at the point in the theater piece where the gender, like, non-binary, like, child with a non-binary gender who's sort of expressing their gender, the place where they start to come to terms with it is at a campfire looking up at the stars. So we, like, projected a night sky.
Oh, wow.
And, yeah, whenever I start to feel, like, really kind of stuck in other people's vision of my gender or other people's vision of who I am, and that internalized stuff, I, like, go back to that image, and it really helps me, like, just... let go. But as far as my childhood, I'm the only child of two Jewish parents from Queens, both from Brooklyn. I think.
So yeah. You're so New York.
I'm super New York. Yes, I'm very New York. Both my parents were born and raised in Brooklyn. So I'm a second generation New Yorker. You know, we're culturally Jewish in the way that, like, we definitely ID as Jewish, but we're not religious at all. Mm-hmm. And growing up, I don't remember how... I remember, I went to a very racially and ethnically and socioeconomically diverse elementary school. Mm-hmm. And so, like, what it meant to be a girl and what it meant to be a boy, like, looked very different across different young people's, like versions of being at home. And what it meant to be a woman and what it meant to be a man looked different in my home than in my friends' homes. Like, you know, I'd go to my friend's home and their mom would be wearing a sari. And my mom, you know, like, would look the way my mom looked. And so I was like, oh, there's a lot of options here. I don't remember having a very strong, clear sense of my gender. I don't ever remember thinking that I was a girl, though. And when I was a little kid, my mom always would say that I would go into the store and she would try to get me to put on, like, puffy, like, pink things, and I would refuse. Like, I just wouldn't even, and all I wanted to wear was Daffy Duck. Daffy Duck and anything with epaulets, like shoulder pads, which I still rock shoulder pads, like, really hardcore. And I grew up and ended up going to, like, a pretty, like, normative high school in Queens and sort of, like, ending up falling into, like, a crowd of people who were pretty, like, not queer. We're, like, very, very straight and, like, very, very, like, I don't know, like, cool kids in Queens. Like, so I wore long nails, like, long acrylic fingernails, like, lots of gel in my hair. I was, like, really just trying to fit whatever it is that I thought I was supposed to be. And I was really afraid of, like, being, like, found out that I wasn't that. Mm-hmm. So I was like, I'm just gonna try real hard to make this work.
What year was that?
That was, high school was from 1998 to 2002. Mm-hmm. And then I went to college in Grinnell, Iowa, from Queens. And
how was that?
It was interesting. And I should say that, like, in high school or in junior high, as early as 9 or 10, I, like, knew I was something other than straight and something other than what I was supposed to be. Like, I didn't quite know what, but I knew, like, the things I was drawn to and the things I was reading, like, didn't, like, especially, like, was the internet, like, when I was, like, 12 and 13, as the internet was starting to become a bigger part of my life, the things I would Google, you know, like, I would Google trans people and I didn't know why. Like, I just would. And, at, like, 11. And, I knew that I was interested in maybe women and men. I had crushes on boys. And I had crushes, like, I had a lot of curiosity. And I think that I remember, like, knowing lesbians and being like, but I'm not that. I know I'm not that. I don't know why. I just know I'm not. And I remember being, like, in high school and, like, knowing some girls who came out as lesbians and being really jealous of them because I really just wanted to be a lesbian. I was like, if I could just say that that's what I am, it would be really easy. But I don't know what I am, and it's not that, and I don't know why, and fuck, you know? And so I ID'd as bisexual for a long time, or for a while, but it never fit. I was always like, yeah, that's a, okay, if you want to use that word, fine, whatevs.
Right, labels.
Labels, yeah.
People require them, but yeah. They don't always fit.
And I, you know, I had a very loving family. I was an only child, though, so there was, like, a lot of, like, you know, it was all on me to be, like, the good one, the bad one, you know, and I had a lot of trouble at home. Like, I just fought all the time with my family, like, especially with my mother, like, all the time, like, knockdown screaming fights, like, a level of rage that, like, didn't fit the situation. Mm-hmm. And I think back now to, like, just what I was going through and how I didn't know how to handle it, and didn't have words for it. And so, sorry, Mom, that I was such a little shit. And my mom was also struggling with stuff, with mental health, and, you know, my family, they were struggling with things. And I think I just really wanted to be stable and normal. Like, I wanted some stability and some normalcy. And so as I got into college, I knew I was weird, but I sought out mostly straight relationships, and mostly straight friends. And I knew that, like, the lesbian, I knew who the lesbians were and like who the like gay community was, but I didn't even know how to access them. Like I didn't know how to talk to them. I just was like very confused, you know, I would like avoid, and ended up meeting my now ex-husband in college. And we got into a relationship when I was a senior in college, and then we were together for 5 or 6 years and then got married. And I think in all of that time, like, I just was, like, being a version of myself, but not a full version. I always knew, like, from when I was a little kid, like, I'm just different. I don't know how. I just am. And, like, maybe I just, maybe I'll just, maybe what will happen is, like, when I'm 50, everyone I know will die, and I'll just get to live a new life, which is very creepy and weird to say, but, like, and I know, and I loved everyone in my life. It wasn't like I wanted anyone to actually die. I just thought maybe that's the only way I'll, like, I, you know, I got lucky enough to find these people who love me and, like, who like me and want to spend time with me. I got, this is normal. And my ex-husband was, like, is, like, a super normal human. Like, he's just, like, a really good person and, like, you know, and his family's like really loving and normal and all together. And I was gravitating towards that.
Did you feel like your gender identity had something to do with you breaking up with him?
He actually broke up with me. Mm-hmm. I think that both of us trying to pretend to be people we weren't played into it. He wanted to go be a farmer and I wanted to go be a gender fucker, queer, like, trans person, like, you know, doing my thing, you know what I mean, and like a radical, and I think we were both like really trying to love each other but also holding each other back in different ways, and we were really young when we got together, so we had literally just sort of grew up together. And like I realize now, like, things about him, I'm like, I just like dressing that, like, I dressed him that way because I kind of like dressing that way. You know, but so then you know, I think as I, it's all been pretty recent, like, in terms of, like, really being public and, like, talking a lot about things that I've felt since I, you know, junior high, but had, like, now I look back and I'm like, oh, yeah, that all makes a lot of sense now. Like, I get why I was Googling those things, and I get why I was drawn to these things, and I get, you know, that, and I didn't know anyone in my life except for butch lesbians who were sort of, like, maybe more mask, even though I don't identify as mask. I definitely identify as femme, and that's, but I'm not a woman, and so, like, I didn't have any, like, role models of what that looked like. And then I met a couple people who were like gender fuckers, and I was like dating people who were like trans people, and I was like, oh, like, yeah. And I still had this, like, I struggled with this idea of like, well, I don't feel like I'm a trans man. And so like I still fought it for a long time. I was like, you have, you know, funny gender feelings, but like everybody does. And I think I realized like not everybody does. And I think I my like path in life is to like figure out how to like actually listen to the things I feel inside, as opposed to just being like, it's okay, just let it go, it's fine. And you know, it makes me think about all the people who like don't ever get the space to like play and experiment with their gender, and I feel very privileged. I am very privileged to be able to.
That's why I thought it was so important to interview you, because I feel like this is going to be clickable on the internet.
Yeah.
And somebody who's 11 is going to be able to listen to the story, and they need as many options of how to be, you know, right, as possible.
Yeah, I was like, apparently a straight woman who was married, or straight passing woman, you know, like, and when people who meet me now find out, they're like, what, you know, with like punky hair and like, you know, the way I dress now, and I'm like, I'm so much more comfortable in my body now, and uncomfortable in ways, like I think I'm like, it's interesting because the more gender nonconforming I present in the world, the more I feel like I, you know, parts of me that I've wanted to experiment with for a while like freak other people out in my life, and suddenly they're like, wait, you're really doing this, oh, we thought this was just like a little thing, but now you're like really doing this, as I think about, you know, what other transition spaces I want to go into, you know, with my body and with myself. And
can you give any concrete examples?
Yeah, I mean, I think that like I definitely, when I started using different pronouns, a lot of people were super loving. And again, that came from role modeling. Like, I was living with someone who was using they, them pronouns. And I remember it was just like a snap. It was just a click. I was like, my whole body relaxed. It was like I wanted to be around them just so I could say their name and use their pronouns. And everybody else was like, God, this is so hard. And I was like, this is so easy. Like, this is the most natural thing in the world. And again, I realized, like, oh, it's so natural. I can do this for someone else, but it's because I want it for myself. And so started using they, them pronouns. I lost some friends, some, like, people who were really close in my life. And they would say, I think that person, maybe most people would say, maybe say that it wasn't because of that. But I know in my heart that, like, that was part of it. And they thought I was, like, seeking attention or making things difficult or being, you know, because they had known me for so long in another way. They were very, and I were really close, you know, that they, I don't know, they maybe felt betrayed by it or just like I was being selfish. There's a lot of, like, you're being selfish or you're self-centered.
Yeah.
And that's, I still sit with that, you know, it's, I'm being real, like, you know, and then as I've been thinking about, you know, whether or not I want to pursue hormones of any kind, I think it's been a struggle for my mom. But, you know, and this is pretty recent, actually, like, we just had a conversation where, you know, she was like, wait, you're, like, really trans. You know, and I was like, what? Like, what are you? And then I realized, I was like, I'm sitting with this every day, and she sees me every couple of weeks or whatever, and it's not an everyday thing for her, and this is hard for her. And at first it was really hard for me to hear that from her, and then I realized, like, okay, like, she's gonna be where she's gonna be. And then, you know, she, like, called PFLAG, because she's a obsessive Googler like I am. Like, once I started thinking about my gender, I got on Tumblr and just, like, obsessed. Like, I would be up in the middle of the night reading about, you know, people joke about Tumblr genders, but, like, I think I learned more about my gender from Tumblr and, like, 17-year-olds someone in my late 20s than anywhere else, you know? So, like, talking about, like, trans elders, but I think I actually, like, learned more from, like, trans kids.
Which
was really cool.
Resonate with that.
Yeah.
Do you remember any specific things you read that maybe are still out there that...
Yeah, I mean, like, if you just Google Tumblr genders, like, there's 100 different... Like, me and Christian used to, like, when we'd be freaking out about stuff, or, like, both as, like, non-binary... My friend, who I also do the Transgenerational Theater Project with, would be kind of, like, having weird feelings about gender. And I'd be like, let's Google the Tumblr genders! And we'd pull them up, and it'd be, like, cocoon gender. Like, a gender that has yet to become...
Oh, wow.
You know, and I'd be like, I don't know if that's even... I would say, is that even a thing? And then I go, well, who gets to decide what a thing is? You know, and, like, I think...
It's out there.
It's out there.
It's a thing for somebody.
It's a thing for somebody, and it brought me some peace in a moment when I needed it.
Yeah.
To be like, you know, I don't know what my gender is. I'm a cocoon gender right now. I'm in a cocoon, and I'm about to come out. You know, and I think that that's just really cool. And, no, I don't walk around telling people I'm cocoon gender, but... It's an internal identity that brings me a lot of peace.
It sort of reminds me of the whole unicorn and snowflake metaphors. And there's a way in which people say, oh, you're being selfish. You've got to be special. Like, you're the only one. You're a snowflake. Or,
right.
You know, you're a unicorn. That's sort of derisive.
Mm-hmm. And derogatory.
And I feel like... that's what all the points of stars in the galaxy are. We really need that to exist.
Yeah, would you say, like, to a star?
I feel like I rather need to say, no, it's not that I'm, like, a special snowflake and there's something wrong with that. You are a snowflake. Like, we're all snowflakes, every single one of us.
Right.
Just get with the program and stop trying to put everybody in a box, you know? But I guess probably there have to be both ways. Maybe a whole lot of people, like, their gender is the box, and that's what they want.
And I'm
want.
Like, cool, you want to be in that box? I'm so glad for
yeah,
you.
Yeah, that's right. We're happy for you to be in the box. Let us be snowflakes.
And I would, and I don't know that I would love to be in the box. I don't actually think that's true. But, like, you know, maybe I wish I never had to think about this at all. You know, I could use brain space on something else and it would never be a thing. You know what I mean? Like, but I also think there's power in it. And so I embrace it because, like, I embrace the questioning of my gender. And, you know, like, Christian was, like, one of the first people I ever told that I wanted to use different pronouns. And like, as a loved one of mine who's also non-binary and was also using the them pronouns and still does, and is also, like, a gender fucker and awesome and such a role model to me. And we were at this, sort of, like, sex and identity camp in the woods, and they were, and I just turned to them and I was like, I think I have to tell you something. And I was so nervous to this loved one who I knew so well and who knew me so well. And I said, I think I have to tell you something. I think I need you to use different pronouns for me. And I think I need anyone who meets me to. And they were like, fuck yeah, you do. Of course you do. Like, how does anybody move through the world and question this shit and then still come out cis on the other side? You know what I mean? Which I think is an exaggeration, like, because I know people who do question and still come out cis. That's a funny metaphor. Like, they come out of, like, some sort of, like, transformation chamber. But I remember just feeling that and then feeling a lot of relief and a lot of support from other people in my life. And so I am like deeply blessed. And then this project, you know, and like being around, like the theater project that we do and being around, multi-generational group of trans and gender nonconforming people. When we started this project, I was like, Christian and I were talking about doing a thesis project together. And I was like, I would love to work with trans and gender nonconforming people, but I don't feel ready. Like, I barely know who the fuck I am. Who am I to stand up in front of people and talk about gender? Are you kidding me? I can't do that. And then I realized, like, oh, I need to do it, but I need to do it from a place of humility. I can't pretend to be anything I'm not. But if I do that, you know, maybe something cool could come out of it. And what's come out of it is a lot of very powerful community, a lot more clear sense of who I am and who I'm not, right? And I've met trans and GNC people who like came out in their 70s and are transitioned in their 70s or transitioned in their 40s or transitioned, you know what I mean? Or transitioned in their teens. And like, just remembering, like, it can come at any point and at any point or never. And it's still okay. You know, like, that there's just no one pathway for this at all.
And there's no right way to be.
Right.
I think Kristen's going to be famous one day. I think we should say his name on here because... Their
name or her name?
Her name. I'm terrible at pronouns.
I know. A lot of trans people are terrible at pronouns.
I haven't had
hilarious
community mm-hmm. to talk to and about mm-hmm. in my life. So I'm sorry, Christian, she, they are fabulous yeah. and going to be famous. And I
For
think
sure.
that... You'll all
Christian
know.
Hansen Appel is going to be famous. They didn't consent to being on this video, but they're a trans oral historian interviewer, so I think it's okay.
And they're one of the founders, leaders of the Transgenerational Theater Project, mm-hmm. which we're all a part of right now doing these interviews.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Kids are going to want to know. They're going to be like, oh, Lenny's talking about Christian. You'll probably be famous too.
Yeah, I'll ride their coattails.
Huh, what else, what other direction do we want to go?
Hmm.
Have you got, how much time have we got?
I only got like 15 minutes.
Huh. Well, it's for the New York Public Library, mm-hmm. so I think I'd like to hear how New York has been in your life as a place with transgenderness or queerness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like what maybe queer spaces that people in the future will have heard of have you been in and been a part of and seen and been to?
Oh, great question. I think that, I mean, Sage, where we are now, is such an incredible space in New York City. I think I remember the first day I ever walked in here and it was like, or one of the very first days, and it was Halloween. And it was like all these amazing, like, beautiful, older LGBT adults who I just had so much fun with. And I was like, oh, this is what my future could look like, you know? And that was really beautiful. And I love coming here. And I love all of the, like, older trans and GNC adults here. And I think that it's really powerful to have people in their 30s and 40s be part of this place, because like eventually this will be ours.
I know. I feel the same way. Does it stand for something, Sage?
It's this services and advocacy for GLBT elders.
Services and advocacy. Good. Yeah. Good. Okay.
Yeah. And it was the first of its kind to like be an older adult center specifically for older adults, or for LGBT older adults. And like, one of the things I love about them is like a lot of older adult centers like have lunch instead of Sage has dinner, and it was because they like pulled their constituents and were like, what meal would you want? And they're like, fuck lunch, we want to have dinner and then go out together and be cute, like, you know, like, cool. We want a nightlife, because like nightlife is such a big part of queer and like LGBT community, right?
Yeah.
So for me, I think also like, yeah, going out to like you know, going out to parties, and like particularly like it came actually through like well, if you're my former student and you're listening to this, or you're my current student listening to this, you know that your educators are also adults. So like consenting kink and sex positive community, and that's where I've met a lot of incredible trans and genderqueer people and like gender nonconforming people, and actually learned to accept and love my body in its current form as it is, and to like see it as a beautiful thing, even if I'm not sexualized as like a woman, like air quotes around the word woman, because I think I learned to be sexual as a woman and very confused, and I don't, but that never felt quite right, and I didn't know how to quite be my full self in those scenarios. And so being around trans people in those scenarios and seeing them struggle but also be in their power has been really incredible. So some of the spaces in New York City, like, you know, there's a place called like there's a space called Submit, and there's like there's like things called the myth parties that don't really exist anymore. Maybe could exist in the future, but were mostly put on by community members who were interested in showing up. They saw a need and they wanted to like start things. So those are some things that were very important for me in terms of like coming to a place of real like love and self-love around who I am, like as a whole person.
I think that there's so much truth in that, because as trans people whose bodies don't necessarily conform to whatever the norm is, I feel like there's a way in which you're your most true self, or I am my most true self, I don't like to speak for other people, in the nude.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're naked, okay, somebody can see, oh, this part's sort of like what I think of as masculine, that part might be feminine, mm-hmm. you know, and that being with a whole bunch of different trans people mm-hmm. in the nude and seeing the wonderful variety mm-hmm. of their yeah. bodies, and also then seeing that they're not broken and fucked up, they're actually sexy and gorgeous,
right,
and fabulous,
whole. Exactly,
and whole, it's very healing.
Totally.
And
totally.
I've thought of that in terms of art instead, because there's been projects that do photographs of nude trans people mm. and I've thought that's powerful.
Yeah. And the narrative also, like, it's a, and I like, I know so many people, trans people, who have so much shame around their bodies and like different parts of their bodies, right, whether they be their genitals but also just any part of their body, right? And that's and they deserve, and I deserve, whatever shame I feel, like, to have the support or resources to have that, like, have their bodies match how they need it to be, right?
Yeah.
And there are transgender non-conforming people, I would consider myself one of them, that really feel a lot of love for parts of their bodies that other people with the same exact identity feel less love about.
Right.
And some days I don't feel any love for those parts of my body, and some days I really do, and it shifts, and it's not a static thing. And so, like, I wish that growing up that I had, like, known that it didn't have to be, like, one really clear idea. Like, I was always just so jealous of these people who just, like, knew who they were, and, like, I know what, like, I was jealous of these lesbians, because in my head, the story was they just knew they were a lesbian, and it was so clear, and everything was clear cut and dry, and I was over here, like, real confused, you know, and, like, one day I'd feel one way, and another way I'd feel another way. And I think I would love to have heard, and I'm grateful now that I think, like, the young people I work with have a lot more role models, but there need to be even more still, of people being like, it shifts, it changes, it can be whatever it is, I can love my body exactly the way it is and be trans. Like, there's all lots, and then maybe like for 5 years I can love it, and then 5 years later I can do something else, and then I can do something else after. Like, I think that that is really revolutionary, and I don't, and just like getting away from the like a single narrative that, you know, that I internalize, you know, like, and that kept me from being my, like, from being out as my true self for a long time, because I'm like, oh, like, if I don't feel X, then I can't be Y. Like, if I don't feel like I hate this part of my body, then I must not be, like, but I knew, it was like I was stuck between a rock and a hard place, and I was like, I didn't feel like I had space in between. And so that's why, coming back to that galaxy idea, just, like, freeing out of, maybe it's because I'm a Virgo, and I, like, oh, I think a little in boxes, like a lot of people, but I'm, like lists and rules and things, and sometimes I get in my own way around that, and so I'm also Aquarius, so I have some space to, like, flow and be airy. Anyway, I think that I want there to be more narratives out there. And I also, one of the things about this project that I've really loved is, like, being around trans people and watching them and myself shift their own narratives. Like, sometimes in the project, people will be like, only X pronouns, right? Only he, him pronouns. And then, like, halfway through the project, they'll be like, he, him, or zee, zim, zeer, or they, them, there. Or, you know, she, if you're feeling cute. You know, like, or if you're in the family, like, people getting really fluid with different parts of themselves and having, because I think when trans people feel safe, they often, not always, actually can get a lot more fluid and have that space to be, but it's because the world, like, sort of tells us we have to be one way.
Yeah, the community gives you more options, and when you see other people doing all the different ways, you can try it out or not.
And you can be like, oh yeah, cool.
See how it fits and maybe keep it or slough it off later.
Yeah, keep the stuff that works and chuck the rest for sure. Yeah.
Well, I think we've made a really good message for kids about
genderqueer kids at home. You're okay.
Like, you're okay, and you don't have to be anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And try to listen to yourself.
Yeah.
Right?
That little, like, weird gutty feeling, you know, it's, like, really important. And, like, the practice of listening to it for me, I feel like I'm still learning it so much. And it's like, it what makes me excited to be alive, even when I struggle with, like, feelings of sadness or whatever. The things that make me feel like happy to be alive are the parts where I'm like, I'm getting better at listening to myself. And imagine if I'm getting better, then what'll be in 10 years? You know, how good will I be with myself in 10 years if I'm better to myself now than I was 10 years ago? So that's what, you know.
And it's deep, yeah. You know, it really might be about evolution,
mm-hmm.
You know, mm-hmm. Like, listening to yourself and letting yourself evolve into what you want to be or should be or really are, but didn't, you know, that it takes some opening up of the layers.
Yeah, letting yourself evolve is, like, all of it. That's, I feel like that's what it is about for me, is like letting myself evolve, and standing, getting out of my own way, and yeah. Thanks for interviewing me,
that's
Kyle.
That's beautiful. Well, you rock.
You and rock, Kyle.
Don't stop.
Okay,
it.
Don't stop it.
Okay. Wrap up questions.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel emotionally, mentally, physically right now? So basically, you're okay, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, I've got a little bit of a headache because we had a long, badass day of making theater. I feel proud of myself, and I feel more connected to you.
I'm really proud of you, too, and more connected to you. I think we did, if you wanted people to hear one thing from you, what would it be? But if anything else leaps to mind.
Yeah, it's an evolution.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, for sure.
If you wanted to be remembered for one thing, what would it be? I think it's your look.
My look?
You're so
you
fabulous.
Can't see my look, but I wear. I love color. Oh, we'll take a picture, and I have color. I like sparkles. I like color, and I like galaxy imagery for sure.
Yeah.
Thank you. All right, I'm gonna hit stop.
Yep.
Bye.
Bye.